right, we are in our series on the dynamics of a disciple. We've been on, we're going to look at a couple different aspects of what it means to be a disciple, just looking at different verses and principles from the Bible. We started off with disciples are followers, and we're in lesson 10, so it's been going for a while, but good news is, well, not good news, we'll be done with this particular point this week, and then next week we'll start on a different aspect of being a disciple, okay? We've mentioned many times, and you already understand by now, that a disciple is someone who's more than just a Christian, more than just saved. When I say more than that, I say, what more is there to it? In other words, they're not satisfied or content with just being a Christian. They want something more. They want to have a close relationship and be the kind of follower of Christ that they should be, not just some, you know, hashtag or some cute little name, you know. I'm progressing in my faith journey. Well, good for you. That's wonderful. Are you a disciple? That's what I want to know. So we're going to look at the last two tonight. We're going to finish this particular section about disciples being real followers, not followers in name only. So what are the last two? Number 11, followers, disciples are followers who serve. Disciples are followers who serve the Lord. John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Jesus said if we're going to serve him, we have to follow him. Now, I know in a sense there's those he called that physically followed him if they were going to serve him. We can't physically follow Jesus Christ. He's not on this earth in bodily form, but we can follow him. If we follow the precepts of the Bible and we follow what the Bible tells us to do. And one of the things he says, you got to serve him. You cannot look in the Bible and not notice that God wants us to serve him. God does not want us to be passive Christians. God wants us to be active Christians, actively using our life, our energy to serve him. Let me give you a couple thoughts under that. A, it's the purpose, and this is all under the guise of following, of serving him. It's the purpose for one who is saved. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we quote those and we maybe use those sometimes when we witness to somebody. There's nothing you can do to be saved. There's no works you can do. There's nothing you can do in your own energy to make God take you to heaven. It says right here. But we forget the 10th verse, which comes right after it. For we are his workmanship. Workmanship means new product. Created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. The moment we're saved, we are now a new product that's been created in Jesus Christ because we trust him as our Savior, and we're created to do good works. That's why he left us here, to do something. Not just to bask in the glow of the fact that we're saved. Not just to enjoy the fact that he's given us a church family, although we ought to enjoy the fact that we have a church family. God says, I served you to do something. Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I mean, God decided that he wanted you to serve him and do good works before he even saved you. That was already in his mind. You're saved, get after it. Now we have the idea, and there's a partial truth to it, that someone gets saved and they start to grow in their faith, and they grow to a point where they start to serve God. And there's truth to that, okay? You're not going to get saved, be a new Christian, be here 2 months, and we're going to make you a Sunday school teacher. That's not happening. That's a novice. But pretty quickly, we should do something. Pretty quickly, we should be actively doing something for God because we are saved. I remember as a new Christian, and I've given it before. I never went to church, but maybe two or three times in my life. And then I get right with God and I start going to church. It was all new to me. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was just like, man, this is all, you know, every time you open up the Bible and said, turn to that verse. I'm like, I've never seen that verse in my life. You know, and I was all excited about it, taking notes. I mean, I took all these notes and I'd go home and transfer them. I told you before, I didn't know any better, you know, people highlighting their Bible. So I thought, okay, they'll highlight the verses that pastor mentions in his message. And so every time he mentioned a verse, it could be something like, you know, and take the fat from the liver between the calls, some verse in Leviticus. And I highlighted it, man, because pastor mentioned it. And after it took me a few months to like, you know, if I do this, pretty much the whole Bible is going to be highlighted. That's pretty dumb, okay? I think I'm supposed to highlight verses that speak to my heart. And then I kind of changed gears there. But as I sat in there for 6 months growing, I remember one Sunday night, Pastor Black was up preaching and he was so eloquently speaking, you know. And he's like, and he was talking about serving God. And he's like, listen, I've been waiting for some of you to get started serving God. It's time. And I'm thinking, I got to get going. And I had 6 more months. I ended up being there only 6 more months before I went off to Bible college. He sent me off to Bible college. And I got involved. And next thing you know, I was involved in 7, 8, 9 different things. I just, now as a single guy, and I, you know, so I got involved. That's why God saved us. God wants us to be involved in doing good works. And if we're not, we're not a true follower to the extent that God really wants us to be. It's the purpose for which we're saved. B, it's the plan for believers, for all believers, no matter their standing in life. We've taught on this before during stewardship in 1 Timothy chapter 6, talking about the rich and those that have money. Sometimes we think it's a sin to be rich. I don't think so. Especially if you tithe, amen? If you don't tithe, it is, okay? We're building a building. I wish a lot of you had a lot more money, amen? Okay? But, and look what he mentions here. Talking about those that have money, those that are a little rich in this world, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. You know, it's for everybody. Nobody is an exempt. You know, we heard the story a pastor used to mention, I think, David Gibbs gave it one time. He was preaching at a church and a guy was vacuuming and the guy was being, if I'm not mistaken, the guy was being very detailed in his vacuuming. I mean, he was like taking it to the umpteenth degree, making sure everything's just perfect. And Brother Gibbs met him and found out this guy was a very wealthy man. But he wasn't so wealthy that he could not serve. Well, I'll serve, but I want to be a Sunday school teacher. Okay? Work your way up to that, okay? If you're not willing to come here on a work day or pitch in here or there, you're not really qualified to be a teacher. We'll look at that in a few minutes. But let's make sure that we're not, none of us are over and above getting involved. Let her see it. Brother Paul said, amen. He wants you to volunteer to come vacuum, all right? Brother Paul, I saw you working. By the way, pray for the Dodger fans, and I'm one of them. We usually wait to the World Series to lose, but this year we thought we'd just get it out of the way early, all right? Letter C. It's a passion we excitedly participate in. Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And they say there's no verses about deity. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. By the way, some of you have that down. Zealous of good works. I like that word, zealous, right? Zealous. I mean, we're excited about it. I mean, whatever we're doing, we're excited about it. If I'm teaching Sunday this school this week, I am excited about it. Remember when I first got in the bus ministry? After that 6 month stretch, and someone got me on the bus route here in Long Beach. I'll never forget. We're on that first Sunday. I'm a full-time bus worker. It's like you sit in the back of the bus because of, you know, things were a lot different back then. You know, a couple of the windows are broke. Make sure none of the kids jump out on that type of thing. And I remember we're driving down PCH, and I'm brand new to all this. Man, this is all new to me. And some kid grabs someone's Bible as we're driving down PCH, and he just chucks it out the window. And I'm thinking, I am not zealous about this. And then one of the kids kept irritating me because it was a broken window and he kept wanting to stick his head out of it. And I'm thinking, I'm not doing this. Okay. Now I did, but I was not excited about it. But after a while, next thing you know, I don't know what happened. I was just a bus worker Sunday morning. I'll come and I was a runner for a while. You run to the door and get the kids. And next thing you know, the bus captain bails out and I'm visiting on Saturdays and probably doing things you shouldn't do, giving kids a ride on my motorcycle, driving on their lawn and all kinds of weird things to get them on the bus. And you don't do that. But I was excited about it. And so we ought to be excited. I understand some ministries are not as exciting as the other. Nursery. I get that. But we should be excited about serving the Lord, okay? We get to do something. Well, how can I be excited about the nursery? The kids scream, and I'm with my own kids, and they smell funny. By the way, so do some of you, amen? Why should I be excited? Well, first of all, you get to love those little pumpkins. And secondly, because you're holding them, people get to hear and participate in church without hearing nonstop screaming, okay? And so let's be excited about it. D, it is something we must maintain a permanent faithfulness to. Permanent faithfulness to. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God may be careful to what good works? Maintain. I am not as excited about someone who starts fast as someone who finishes fast, or finishes fast. Sticks with it. Okay? You know, the tortoise and the hare, the hare got off to a nice start, but he lost. Kind of like the Dodgers, okay? That's just how it is. Maintain. We have some bus workers and bus drivers. You've been doing it for a while. The kingdom of heaven is for you, all right? Maintain. Stay with it. Some of you have been teaching, I don't know, how long have you been teaching Sunday school, Brother Ron? 20 years. Maintain. Okay? He's only been saved for 15. The first 5 years were practice, all right? Maintain. Faithful. Some of you have been faithful helping in your Sunday school class. Maintain. Let's not just, there are, you say, man, but some Sundays I get up and my alarm goes off and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to go do my ministry. Can I just tell you something? Every Sunday my alarm comes off, I don't want to come to church. Okay? You're the pastor. You should love us. I don't always, especially when the alarm goes off. 5 minutes afterwards, a little bit of coffee, I'm crazy about you, all right? But let's be faithful to what we're doing. Let's maintain good works. I don't care what you've done in a year. I want to see what you do in 5 years, okay? Let's just stay with it. By the way, fruit does not grow overnight. It does not. It takes a while. Stick with it, okay? And by the way, thank God, we have a lot of people that you've stuck with it, and I appreciate that. The second letter D, because I wasn't sure you'd like the first letter D. Do you have two D's on there? Public school right here. I didn't even, you know. The second letter D is, it is something that the church promotes each other to do. I could put persuade. I was staying with P's. I don't know if you caught that. Okay. Hebrews 10:24, talking of the verses we use in 24 and 25 about faithfulness to church, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love. By the way, I'll give you what do they call that? When they tell you what's going to happen? No, that's a prophecy. What do they call that? Spoiler alert. That's the second point, okay? Promote unto love and good work. We're supposed to encourage each other to do good works. By the way, don't be upset if someone says, hey, you ought to come ride my bus. By the way, some of you, we need to go up and say, hey, you ought to drive my bus. Hey, you know, if you've been faithful and God's used you and you're growing in your faith, if they come up and say, hey, you ought to consider being a Sunday school teacher. Okay? Or, you know, someone's here, it's like a new person, they don't come soul winning. Maybe you don't, and someone comes up and says, hey, why don't you come out with me on Tuesday night? We're not trying to put you on the spot. We're trying to provoke you unto love and good works. Okay? I'm glad. The first time, now I told you about when I started on the bus route, but the first time I ever rode a bus, it was a lady in our church, bus captain, a single mother with three kids, and she, her bus was again, it was the early 80s, all right? The rules weren't as stringent as they are now. She had a small 60-passenger bus, and she'd come in with 120. Okay. And I didn't know that. And it was summer. She goes, hey, I had a special day on my bus route. After church, could you come and help me take them to the park? And I'm thinking, hey, get a little bus ride with some of the kids. That'll be great. It was like 100 degrees. I got on that bus. There was nowhere to sit. Everybody's standing like sardines. We get to the park. The kids are acting like kids do when they've been on a hot bus and been locked up in church service for 2 hours. You let them go at the park. That's how they acted. And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Okay? But you know what? She was trying to get me involved in the bus ministry. She was trying to get me a taste of it. First time I went soul winning, the assistant pastor, Dave Sisson said, you ought to come with me on Thursday night. I like, I'll come. He goes, all right, we start at 7. I said, I'll be there. He goes, no, I'm picking you up. I'll be there. No, I'm picking you up. Brother Sisson, if I tell you I'll be there, I'll be there. I'm picking you up. He wanted to make sure I'd be there. And you know what? He came by and picked me up, and I went soul winning with him. Okay? He provoked me into good works. And so that's what church is all about. Understand a few things before we go to the second point. Jesus made it clear that service is really nothing more than an outflow of following him. And it's part of following him. And so we need to follow him. How do we serve God? We serve God for others. And we do it for God. We do it for other people, but we also do it for God. Okay? The two go together. Well, I love God. It's people I struggle with. I may not say that, but if you wrote that down, I might sign that. Okay? But the two go together. If you don't like people, you don't love God. I'm sorry. That's the scripture. We have to love both. And it's very important. How do we serve God? We do it. One of the best ways to serve him is through the ministries of the church. What is a ministry? Ministry, or doing ministry. I think it's on your. Ministry is using our spiritual gifts and talents that come from God to serve others through the church for God's glory. Okay. Many years ago, when we started as a Cambodian church, and you know that, there was a guy that we met, and he and I think a girl came into Long Beach, and they were going to reach all the Cambodians on their own, no church service. They just did some goofy little thing with a bunch of the kids. We met them over here, 1151 Walnut. That's a little bit different now. I think it's on one of our bus routes, but it used to be just chock full of Cambodians. They were doing something, and they weren't attached to any church. They didn't go faithfully to any church, and I'm thinking, that's not very effective. Ministry is done through the church, okay? And it's more effective. It's using the, God gave each one of you, believe it or not, a talent, something you can be efficient and good at, and he wants us to use it for him, okay? If you know how to sing, you might want to use that talent in the choir, okay? Say, why aren't you in the choir? Not my gift, okay? You know, you play an instrument, you might want to use that. You have an ability to push a vacuum. You might want to use that, okay? Whatever it is. I'm a mechanic. Let me say this. We have buses, all right? So whatever your, God gave you that talent, and maybe that's your job. And I know sometimes the job we do, we really don't like to do it at other times, okay? But you know what? Maybe God gave you that so that you can use it through ministry in the church to reach people and teach people and promote them to good works. Jesus taught us about having a servant's heart. By the way, that's what you need. You need to have a servant's heart. You know what a servant's heart is? I want to serve. I want to be involved. I don't want to just sit around. I'm not a sit around type of person. I want to be involved. I've always been involved in church, but you ought to want to be involved somehow. I know you enjoy coming and you wouldn't be here on Thursday night, but you ought to get involved somehow doing something. Let me give you a few thoughts on this and we'll go to the last point. Jesus was a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. God, the creator of the universe, coming down to serve his creation. Talk about not worrying about your position. You know, if Jesus can do it, I just have an inkling that we could be servants. Jesus said that the greatest is a servant. Matthew chapter 23, but he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. We think the greatest is the person that's teaching Sunday school. They're the leader. They're doing this. No. The greatest is a person that's willing to just serve however it is. They'll take the menial task. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister, servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. But no, so shall it not be among you, but whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you shall be the chiefest shall be servant of all. You want to be a big shot? Serve. You want to be a big shot? Look, you do not need pastoral authority, the anointing of God, to change a light bulb or do something around here. We're okay with that. If you see something over here, hey, that should be fixed, and you got a screwdriver nearby, okay, we don't need to pray about it. We don't need to anoint you with oil. Grab the screwdriver and get it done, all right? Just do it. If you see something you'd like to help with, come see somebody. Let's get after it. We'll make sure you have training. I mean, we're not going to let an axe murderer be a Sunday school teacher. Although I will say this, the kids would probably listen. But we're waiting for something. Like, I'm waiting for a calling. While you're waiting for a calling, grab a broom. And don't fly on it, all right? Just grab a broom. Do something. What can I do? By the way, we have that. So many times we're doing something. Oh, hey, can I grab that chair? Or you see somebody doing something. Like, oh, can I help with that? Those of you that cook, and there's always someone cooking out there. Thank God for you folks. And thank you for doing that. And let's just, that's a great thing. And then lastly, Jesus gave an example of servanthood. John chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. If I then, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. You say, man, feet are disgusting. In their day, it was really bad. It was a menial task. Jesus did it. Okay? He set the example. Now, I'm just going to throw these at you. Let me give you a couple thoughts. How can we have a servant's heart? Look for opportunities to get involved, not opportunities to avoid. Something needs to be done. Say, hey, can I be a part of that? Okay, by the way, we can use more people in every ministry. That's true of every church. All right? Go see Brother Pichardo or Brother Ross or don't see Brother Paul. Brother Paul will use you, okay? But let's find somewhere to be involved. Volunteer to get involved. Someone has said, see the need, take the lead. Be willing to do any job. Get involved in a regular ministry. Number 12. Give me about 10 minutes. We'll finish this. Disciples are followers who love. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. We follow God. God is our Father. We are His child. And we ought to follow Him in that sense. Follow His leadership. Follow His influence. Follow His direction. Follow His word. He is our Father. That's a relationship. By the way, it's a responsibility God takes on and fathers us. Some fathers don't take that responsibility, right? We have too many what they call deadbeat dad. God's not like that. So if God's not being a father to us, where's the issue? The issue is with us as children. We're not allowing Him to father us. Verse 2, and walk in love. If we follow God as dear children, we will walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor. That's tough. We're supposed to walk in love like Christ loved. Kind of like husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church. Man, you hear that? You want to tap out. Like, I can't get there. But He's saying the same thing. Hey, we're supposed to love like He loved. So often, and we have to be very careful, our type of church, and I think you know what I mean, a church that's following the Bible, we're not afraid to tell the truth. So often those who follow revel in the commitment side without understanding the compassion side. Brother, I stand for the faith. Amen. But will you stoop for the brethren? Brother, I believe the truth and I'm not moving off the truth. Okay, but do you care for people? You know, I get irritated like you do at all the stuff going on in our world. But sinners act like sinners. And I'll get irritated. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and I'm going to tell you the truth. If our society is pushing something that's lame, you know. But on the other hand, people need Jesus Christ. They need us to love them. Okay? Do you know you can stand for the faith and still be compassionate? I think we forget that sometimes, right? Because it's easy. That's easy. You know, when we were young kids, man, when I was a young leader, I'm like, in, man, yeah, woo. Sometimes we're a little harsh. You know, we don't always have to be harsh. We can stand for the truth without being harsh sometimes. The only time we should be harsh is if someone's causing trouble or trying to hurt somebody. So we can learn a lot about love from Christ. In the New Testament, in the Bible, especially New Testament, tells us a lot about love. Let me give you these few thoughts here. Bible tells us we are to love each other as he loved us. We said that already. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. I mean, he just lays it out there. He throws the bar high. High. And so that's our goal. Are we ever going to get there? Probably not. Can we get close? Let's try. Let's love one another. Okay? All we do should be motivated by love. Let all things be done with charity. Love. Okay? Now, you say, you know, I drove the bus Sunday morning, and I had a rough Saturday night, and I don't think I drove the bus in love. Should I not drive the bus? No, drive the bus, just strap yourself in and don't say a word. Okay? But, you know, sometimes we have rough days, but you know what keeps us going? Because we love people because Jesus loves them, not because they're necessarily lovable. The people Jesus were around weren't lovable. You know, crowds would follow him, and then he preached the truth, and it's like, oh, look what time it is. I got to go. You know, the crowd in John 6 all bolted. Jesus looks at the disciples and says, what about you guys? You leaving? Okay. He loved them. And he told them the truth very compassionately. Right? The woman at the well, they wanted to throw stones at her. Even though they should have brought the guy, they wanted to throw stones at her. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Everybody loves it. Ah, see, Jesus said, go and sin no more. So I'm not going to let you get away. No more. But I'm not going to condemn you. Just go. But we need to love people. And our motivation should be love. It's something we should already know. 1 Thessalonians. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. It's almost like Paul saying, did you not get the memo? You ought to already know this. Now, we know more than we go with sometimes, right? And sometimes we struggle with things, but we know fundamentally we're supposed to love and care for people even when we don't feel like it. And that's very important. You know, there's a new thing going around in this new independent Baptist, new fundamental Baptist. The fundamentals aren't new. Being a Baptist is not new. And when someone finds something new, they're finding something God doesn't know about, all right? But it's like, you know, the hate doctrine. I don't know. There's a couple verses in the Bible that kind of dispel that. Jesus loved the world, not willing that any should perish, you know. And we want to call people out. No. We should already know that, look, God wants us to love people. Well, that person's a heathen. They're going to end up in hell. That's between them and God. My job is to try to love them and share the gospel with them. It's a commandment for those who believe. 1 John. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. It's a defining characteristic of our relationships. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. By the way, just because we love somebody doesn't mean they don't irritate us sometime. Can I get a witness? We can still love them, okay? By the way, we want people to be perfect, but us. We want people to give us a break when we're not perfect, right? Well, that's just my weakness, but they can't have one, okay? We need to understand that. It's a direct result of spiritual growth in a believer. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Fruit grows. And fruit's not, by the way, it's not natural. It's not natural sometimes to put up with things our flesh doesn't want to put up. Right? It's not natural to go out of our way to help somebody, share the gospel with them, or do something on our own. But as we grow in our faith, that fruit grows in our life, and love will grow along with the other fruit of the Spirit. So in 1 Corinthians, you'll see the verses there. We'll read them again. There's three things about love we need to understand. A, without love, anything I do is empty. And though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Man, I could have an eloquent voice that would make the angels be envious of my voice. But I don't have love. You know what I am? I'm like a bunch of just keys clanging together. Okay, it's not effective, and it's not helping anybody. In fact, you can do all that, but you're irritating to others. That's how it is. I don't see where God's called us to be irritating to others. If they're irritated about our stand for Christ, let's do it with a smile. Let's do it with love and let their problem be with God and His word, not with us personally. Letter B, without love, I am empty. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. There's nothing to you. No, but I can move a mountain by faith. I can do all these great things for God. But you don't love people? It's empty. Sometimes people don't react to what we say or what we believe. They react to what we are. There was a guy one years ago. I don't think he does anymore. He used to advertise. I want to be the most hated man in America. Well, have at it, cowboy. Okay, but they're not hating you because of the truth. People hate us. That's because of our stand. It should not be because, I was going to say we're idiots, but I don't say that word publicly. It's because we're not very nice sometimes. Okay. And I don't want to be empty. I don't want to do a bunch of things and end up being empty. Without love, anything I sacrifice is empty. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Okay? We can give all, we sacrifice, we do all these things. I'll end with this. I remember when I went to Bible college. I went to Bible college, and the first month I was there, they had a little place where you could buy, something to drink, not a bar. Have a hot dog or something. And we were freshmen. It was like three or four of us sitting there, and we're talking about our bus routes. We were just like, man, I love being on the bus route, blah, 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 blah. And this teacher walked by. I never met him personally. Never talked to me one time. He walked by, stopped at our table where I was, pointed to me. He didn't like my hairstyle. Back then I had one. And he's like, God will never use you with that hair. And he walked away. Embarrassed me in front of those three guys. I'm like, I don't even know that guy. Can I just tell you something? That didn't impress me at all. About a week later, I'm in the parking lot. I'm walking to go get dinner. It was kind of a cold night. And we're walking and a car drove by us. And then it stopped, and it backed up. Now, our first thought is, man, did I violate a rule here? And it was Judson Mitchell. He rolled his window down. I think he was a vice president of college. He goes, hey, you guys new here? I'm like, yeah, we're all freshmen, blah, blah, blah. He goes, hey, I got a question for you. He goes, has anybody told you they loved you today? And we're like, no. He goes, you know what? I'm glad you guys are here. I love you. That impressed me. Okay? Sometimes caring is more important. And just showing love to people. If we love them, and by the way, these two things go together, love and service. If we love God, we're going to serve people. And if we serve God, we're going to have to do it because we love God and we love people. And that's what a follower disciple will do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.